Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2083, with a release date of Friday, September 29th, 2017, follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams help Florida with storm recovery. In California, a Hams killer is sentenced to prison. And Spain celebrates the success of a young but growing regional ham fest. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2083 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week's report with a story of post-storm recovery efforts. As Floridians rebuild after the most recent hurricane, hams are there. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, spoke with one Red Cross volunteer who also happens to be an amateur involved with a busy Ares team.
I was working Hurricane Harvey in Baton Rouge repairing mobile radios when we were sent back to Florida to prepare for Irma, and then joined my Ares team. We opened up 4 evacuation shelters, ran radios 24/7.
In addition to being involved in Ares, Dave Morris, N4DWM, is also a Red Cross volunteer.
I hopped in my Red Cross vehicle and came down to the Keys. I was one of the first Red Cross people, as well as one of the first hams to come down to the Keys. At that point in time, no one was allowed into the Keys unless you were in some kind of an emergency vehicle. When I arrived down here, I worked on generator power, setting up a satellite system. The preferred technology for the Red Cross is satellite communications. However, I did put up my buddy pole and my own ham radio on 40 meters and did check in with both the Hurricane WatchNet as well as South Cars. We started out in some pretty rugged conditions. As days went by, the power company got the electricity on here, and then I was redeployed with the satellite system down to Sugarloaf Key, which was essentially ground zero, very rugged conditions. National Guard was there with us. At that point, there was still no residents allowed that far down. We were feeding National Guardsmen. After several days, the power came back. We started to get some infrastructure, and they began to let some of the residents in. One thing that I did notice down here in the Keys was that cell phones will not stay up during this type of a weather event, so you really have to look for other means to communicate.
Morris emphasized the value amateur radio operators bring to the Red Cross.
The Red Cross really values the use of amateurs in their communication system. Now, obviously, hams don't get to play with satellite communications much, whereas in the Red Cross, they use that pretty extensively. But they also use in the evacuation shelters. That was all 2-meter ham radios. We did have ham HF radio available to us, which we could have used, but it just wasn't necessary.
He says there are important lessons learned.
Number one, the Red Cross needs the skills that amateurs have in order to make their relief operations really work well. The other thing that you do on field day, you do in this particular scenario. So I know the Ares guys practice all over the United States every field day, once a year. We all do what we know how to do. And believe me, when you end up in this kind of situation, you use those skills.
And Morris says the Keys are starting to rebuild.
As the Keys recover, while there is a lot of devastation down here, but it's a very resilient group of people, and it looks to me like they're already starting to get back on their feet.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
There's justice at last for the killer of David Coette, N6DAC. It arrived at his sentencing in an Orange County, California courtroom on September 22nd. Joe Mell, K0OV, has the story.
You emerged as the face of evil in this community. Those were the words of Superior Court Judge Thomas Gethels as he imposed a 232-year prison sentence on Scott Decry. It was back in October 2011 when Decry, heavily armed and wearing a bulletproof vest, walked into a Seal Beach hair salon and shot his ex-wife. He kept firing at everyone else in sight and then made his escape. In the parking lot, he spotted David Coette, N6DAC, sitting in his truck. N6DAC was a former star high school athlete who loved off-roading in his Land Rover. Thinking he was an undercover officer, Decry shot the 64-year-old ham, making him the 8th fatal victim of his rampage. Decry soon surrendered, but his case dragged on as evidence mounted showing widespread misuse of jailhouse informants by the district attorney and sheriff's offices. That led the judge to rule out capital punishment, even though Decry had pleaded guilty. However, the verdict gave him no chance of parole. In closing the case, the judge said that there were no winners in this case, only losers. The only win, he said, is by the rule of law. From Orange County, California, this is Joe Mell, KZRO Oscar Victor, for Amateur Radio Newsline.
Hams on the International Space Station want students to look to the sky and then start talking. Here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, with the details.
So what exactly do you say to an astronaut? Well, if you could have been on the air with space station astronaut Joe Acaba, KE5DAR, recently, you might have asked about his concerns for his home in Houston, as well as his family's homeland in Puerto Rico, both impacted by recent hurricanes. Schools, museums, youth groups, and science centers will get the chance to ask these kinds of questions and other kinds of questions next year as the Amateur Radio on the International Space Station program once again solicits four proposals for groups to talk to the orbiting crew members between July 1st and December 31st of next year. The program connects students around the world with the men and women in space, but these radio contacts require planning. The ARIS program looks for participants who can build a well-thought-out lesson plan around the actual contact itself, which occurs over amateur radio. That means students are exposed to radio science, satellite communications, wireless technology, and other STEM topics. Deadline for proposals is November 15th. For proposal guidelines and other information, visit ARRL.org/ARISS. As any educator will tell you, there's a lot that can be said in those important and unforgettable 10 minutes. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Spain's Iber Radio Hamfest is just 3 years old, but it's maturing, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
It appears that Iber Radio, South Europe's largest ham fest, is gaining some traction. Its third annual gathering was held in Avila, Spain, on the 16th and 17th of September, and the organisers say it had record attendances, drawing from an even wider international participation. The 2 days of vendor displays and seminars were designed to appeal directly to CBers, amateur radio operators and electronics enthusiasts, helping to make what the Iber Radio website said was one of the most important ham radio events in Europe. The Hamfest also offered license testing by VEs from the ARRL, allowing many to upgrade their FCC licenses. Other attendees seized the moment to have their QSL cards checked for DXCC, WAC and other awards. Already the planning has begun for Iber Radio 2018. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
One Pennsylvania professor isn't just tops in electrical engineering. He's a Sarnoff Citation winner. Jim Dameron, N8TMW, has that report.
Antenna designer James Breakall, WA3FET, a Pennsylvania State professor of electrical engineering, is in good company. He has joined the late Senator Barry Goldwater, K7UGA, and Qualcomm founding chairman and CEO emeritus Irwin Mark Jacobs in receiving the Sarnoff Citation from the Radio Club of America. Licensed since the age of 12, he credits ham radio with igniting his later interest in an electrical engineering career. His specialty soon became antennas. Breakall holds a patent for the three-dimensional frequency independent phased array design antenna, which he developed for its intended use at the High Frequency Auroral Research Program in Alaska. His antenna research also took him to Puerto Rico's Arecibo Observatory, home of the largest dish antenna in the world. He is also credited with the creation of the optimized wideband antenna for amateur radio. On campus, he is known for getting first-year engineering students involved in fox hunting exercises with handheld radios as a way of opening the door for them to ham radio. James Breakall will receive the award in November at the RCA's annual awards banquet in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB0QXW repeater in St. Louis, Missouri, on Monday nights, following the World Friendship Net on Echolink. A noted Massachusetts Institute of Technology educator and former ham has become a silent key. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, tells us about his life.
The former president of MIT and former longtime ham radio operator Paul Gray of Concord, Massachusetts, has become a silent key. An electrical engineering professor emeritus, Paul became a ham radio operator as a New Jersey teen in the 1940s at the end of World War II. He was especially proud of having built his own equipment, and his lifelong fascination with gadgets and all things electrical served him well in his later career. He was first licensed in New Jersey as W2UWN and later became K1ZVT, but his license lapsed in 1970. An electrical engineering graduate of the school, he became MIT's 14th president, serving between 1980 and 1990. The school plans a memorial service for November 30th. Paul Gray died September 18th after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. He was 85. For Amateur Radio Newsline in Aiken, South Carolina, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
It's time to fall out. It's not a contest, and it's not a special event station. It's an annual activity of radio fellowship, as we hear from Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
What's the best thing in autumn besides the turning of the leaves? How about the turning of the dials on your rig up and down the HF bands? The 100 watts in a wire amateur radio community is marking the autumnal equinox with its second annual fallout activity on the 6th and 7th of October. If you have a 100 watts in a wire ID, you're encouraged to go portable and get out there among all those falling leaves to work other members, or find a summit, a park, or a beach. Exchange signal reports, exchange your 100 watts IDs, exchange ideas, and spot yourself on the group's Facebook page. If you can't go portable, stay home. Just get on the air, anytime during those days and in any mode. And if you don't have a 100 watts ID, get one at the website 100wattsinawire.com. It's not a contest, but if you post your total contacts on their Facebook page, you'll automatically be put in a random drawing for some prizes. Prizes you'll be able to use in your shack, no matter what the season. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
In New Zealand, hams are getting ready for 2 weekends of Pacific Islands DXing, as Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us.
Hams in New Zealand consider the Oceania DX contest one of the easiest and most friendly competitions around. It's also one of the longest running ham radio contests. In fact, this event seems to deliver everything but the on-air contact itself. The competition heats up during the first 2 weekends in October, over two 24-hour periods, and all that's needed is 50 QSOs to qualify for a certificate. The weekend of October 7th and 8th will be reserved for phone, CW operators. They'll get their chance on October the 14th and the 15th. It's a tradition of Pacific Island contesting that dates back to the 1930s, and organisers are encouraging New Zealand hams in particular to make this their first contest, if they have yet to jump into the fray. There are new island activations in the contest this year. Both VK9XI and VK9CI will be on Christmas Island and Coco's Keeling Island, respectively. There will also be a memorial plaque awarded for the first time this year in honour of Australian amateur Ken Jewell, VK3AKK, who became a silent key in May. According to the website, organisers in New Zealand and Australia have counted just fewer than 1,200 logs from last year's event, an increase of 70% over the previous year. So hope is high for this year's participation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In other DX, be listening for Rich, N0HJZ, who will be active from October 23rd to November 1st as C6ARW from Grand Bahama Island. You can expect to hear Rich on 30, 17, and 12 meters using CW and SSB. He'll be operating low power with wires and verticals. His plans are to be in the CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest October 28th and 29th as a single op, all band, low power entry. QSL via his home call sign, direct with sufficient postage, or by the Bureau. Harold, DF2WO, is on the air from Burkina Faso through the 30th of October operating as XT2AW. Be listening on CW, SSB, and digital. His QSL manager is M0OXO. Listen for Stan, LZ1GC, who is on a de-expedition in the Pacific, operating as H40GC from Nendo Island from the 30th of September to the 20th of October. He's in the Tuamotu province of the Solomon Islands, which counts as a separate entity for the DXCC award. The IOTA reference number is OC100. QSL via Club Log OQRS. Victoria Island in the Barents Sea is being activated by a team of Russian operators with the call sign RI1F. No definitive dates were made available by production time, but they're expected to be on the air from October 1st through 7th. Send QSLs via Club Log OQRS. For the DXCC award, the contact counts as Franz Josef Land, but for the IOTA award, use the reference number EU190. Finally, it's been a turbulent season of storms in some parts of the world, and you've heard our reports about natural disasters and ravaged communities. You've also heard how Ham Radio has consistently met those challenges. We offer you now a bit of reflection. One of the many, many amateurs to step in with communications assistance this season was Stan Hartz, KK4WCW, a member of North Carolina's Hampstead Hams Club. Stan joined the vast team of hams around his state connecting Puerto Rico's storm victims with worried relatives here in the U.S. Overcome with emotion after completing a successful contact on September 23rd, Stan decided to share his feelings on social media. And now, we've asked him to share that with you. Here's Stan.
For the past 5 years, I've been into amateur radio. People sort of look at me like I'm crazy sometimes and ask me why I just don't use a cell phone. Puerto Rico has recently been devastated by Hurricane Maria, and there's no cellular phone system in operation. The Salvation Army is running what is known as a welfare net, where persons in Puerto Rico can get a brief message from a family member there locally on paper and relay it to an amateur radio operator in Puerto Rico to one on the U.S. mainland. Depending on a variety of conditions, some people hear certain signals better than others. Today, from that net, I took a message for a family with a 910 area code the same as mine. I called to tell the person that their family and their home was okay. Other than a slight language barrier and the bit of confusion as to how I got the message, the man started to cry with joy. About 15 minutes later, his wife called me back and asked for better details on how I got the message. It seems her husband forgets some of his English when he's crying. Well, by that point, we were all crying. So for those who ask what my hobby is all about, this is it. The iPhone 10 won't reach Puerto Rico right now, but a 1990s vintage amateur radio on a 12-volt battery and a 100-foot wire antenna strung between two trees in my backyard will. This is KK4WCW.
Thank you, Stan, and thanks to every amateur who joined in these efforts everywhere. Stan's words speak for every radio operator doing his priceless work. Ham radio is all about connections. And in these trying circumstances, those connections also happen to be lifelines. With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, the Associated Press, CQ Magazine, the FCC, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Oceana DX Contest, Penn State University, Radio Club of America, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights are reserved.